afraid. 'Twas a girl I learned it from, living down Sonora way. I don't look much like a lover, yet I say her love words over often. When I'm all alone, mi amor, mi corazón. Moonlight on the patio, old Senora nodding near. Me and Juana talking low, so the madre couldn't hear. How those hours would go flying, and too soon I'd hear her sighing in her little sorrito. Mi amor, mi corazón. Seen her since that night. I can't cross the line, you know. I'm wanted for a gambling fight. Like as not, it's better so. Yet I've always kind of missed her since that last sad night I kissed her, left her heart, and lost my own. Adios, mi corazón.
It never ceases to amaze me how a certain song, a certain artist evoke memories. You're reminded of Proust in Swan's Way and the taste of his Aunt Melanie's Madeleine, how that taste opened up so many avenues to him of memories, and the whole city of Combray came into being. And so listening to Richard Dyer Bennett in Spanish, The Loving Tongue, I think this is one of the, it may have been the first song by a folk singer I played on a radio program. It was 46, I believe it was. Dick Bennett, our guest this morning, as he has been before, and certainly one of our most stimulating, is appearing tonight. This is Thursday night at the Court Theater right behind Mandel Hall, one of his concerts that is always jammed. And Dick Bennett, this song, I think of it, the first time I heard you play that was, I think, back in 46 or something
that'd
like
that. That'd be about right, Studs. I was singing it then. I learned it, I think, in 46, winter of 45, 46. I fell in love with the song right away. It's a peculiar song. It's obviously not a folk song in the sense that John Henry is. And yet it's somewhere in that body of ground between the real folk song and the highly developed art song. It's a beautiful song for my purposes. I don't care what the origin of a song is if it's a beautiful song.
Of course,
this is your
special niche, Richard Dyer Bennett. The matter of defying categories and labels in your records. The Richard Dyer Bennett albums, there are 11 of them. This is from album number 5, the requests that have been asked for so often by your listeners, that you we describe you as a 20th century minstrel. If we may perhaps even talk about this, what you are. You know, we hear the phrase folk song, folk singer so much, yet you're an art singer primarily who sings folk songs.
Yes.
As well as leader, as well as art songs.
I really don't think of myself in any special category. I do, in a sense, what the old minstrels did, I think, and sing songs that they composed themselves or that other minstrels composed, or traditional songs which they picked up. But actually my repertoire is in many ways very similar to John McCormack's, as you mentioned before we went on the air with this. McCormack sang a great many traditional songs and folk songs and what the Germans call volkstümliche Lieder. But he would often open a program with a Bach aria or a Handel aria, where I may open with an Elizabethan lute song. But his programs went back and forth from straight art song to folk song, traditional song. I think McCormack must have simply learned any songs which he felt he wanted to sing, that he longed to sing, whatever they were. And I do the same thing. If I don't learn a song unless I feel I must sing it, and if I do feel I must sing it, whatever kind of song it is, if I can sing it, I do.
I remember during a previous conversation, you mentioned something about McCormack singing the songs that he liked, even Mother McCree.
Yes.
And some people were shocked. McCormack.
Well, he turned it into gold, as far as I'm concerned. Anything that man sang, he turned it into gold.
Later on during this conversation, we'll hear you sing, this is from your album number 11, one of the songs of Stephen Foster. And then Beethoven's Scottish songs. This is from your 7th album. The story of Beethoven and some of the poetry of the Scots, of Walter Scott, of Robert Burns.
Well, that's an interesting story, Studs. There was a Scotsman, I don't remember his dates exactly, his name was Thompson, I believe, and he lived from sometime in the late 1700s into the 1800s, and he was a government official of some sort, but his hobby was collecting the traditional songs of Scotland and to some extent of the rest of the British Isles. This man had the feeling that the tunes were beautiful. He thought in many cases the words were second rate. He probably was wrong about this in retrospect, but at any rate, he thought that the words were rather second rate, and he felt that the general piano accompaniments that were used in the drawing rooms of his day were execrable. So what he did was to commission outstanding poets of the day to write new lyrics for these songs, and among the people he commissioned were Robert Burns, Sir Walter Scott, Joanna Baillie, William Smythe, and then, thinking that there were no musicians in the British Isles capable of setting these beautiful tunes, he went across the channel and engaged European musicians, and among them were Haydn and Beethoven. And Beethoven set 164 of these songs. That is, he took the traditional tune and set them for symphonies, as Thompson called them when he published them, symphonies for piano, violin, and cello. And they're relatively little known. They're not all good, I would say. A lot of it was hack work on Beethoven's part. You know, he was simply paid to do it, and he obviously wasn't inspired by it all.
Even he did hack work.
Oh, yes. But some of it, I think, was inspired. Some of it, you really feel the melody really invigorated him, and you hear little touches of the kind of thing that you hear in all his good chamber music. Mm. And the songs are charming. But what are they? It isn't Beethoven. It certainly isn't folk song anymore. But why does one have to call it anything? They're lovely songs.
This, I think songs. This, perhaps you've come to the heart of the matter, the core of the apple, the fact that they're songs. And we worry so much about labels these days, really.
Yes.
And I know that you always were free of this particular burden of labels. Well, in this album number 7 of the Dyer Bennett albums, you have the sort of chamber accompaniment here, don't you?
Yes. I did the songs with the two members of the Berkshire Quartet, which is in residence in the summer in Connecticut, up close to where I live. And in the wintertime, they're in residence at the University of Indiana. It's one of the great quartets, I think, in the world today. And Fritz Marg, the cellist, Enrico Rossi, violinist, and the pianist is Natasha Marg, Fritz's wife. And so they provide what Thompson called the symphonies for this song, for these songs.
Bonnie Laddie, Highland Laddie.
Yes.
This is James Hogg, poet James Hogg.
It's a traditional Scottish tune, and it's of the from the time of the Napoleonic War, and speaking of the silver moon, this was the silver moon, which was the little emblem worn by those who had fought, you see, in the Napoleonic War.
In listening, Richard Dyer Bennett, formerly, in listening to you and the Beethoven songs, to Scottish poetry, we're constantly aware of the wide interests you have musically and in connection with literature, too. I know you spoke of a plan you had long ago of adapting the Schubert cycle, the Schinemüllerin, and the English translation of it. And I know you have been thinking about this for a long time.
Yes, I remember it must have been 6 or 7 years ago, Studs, that we first spoke of that, and almost every year since then you've asked me how I was getting along, and I put it off and put it off and put it off. Well, this winter I had a few weeks between tours, and for some reason or other the moment came for me to start to work on this, and I went to my Peter's edition of the Schubert songs, and I did about 3 in the first day, and then a week went by while I struggled with number 4, and so on it went through these weeks, and by the end of this period of a few weeks I had sketched them all out, and now during the late winter and spring when I could, I've worked on them, and I finally finished them. This is a cycle of verses written by the poet Wilhelm Müller, around the turn of the century, that is, around 1800, he wrote the poetry. And it tells a continuous story. It's a narrative running through 20 verses, 20 poems, that is. And the poems are all in one form. In other words, it's not like a long ballad. Each poem has a different shape and form, and so Schubert set these 20 lyrics quite differently. But it's obviously a narrative. The music is there's a feeling of key relationship and contrast and rhythm and intensity. The whole thing should be heard as one piece. And it's my feeling that the English-speaking world, that part of it that doesn't know German very well, has never heard it as a narrative. And I found in talking to people who know and love the cycle in German that many of them have never thought of it as a narrative, as a continuous story.